justifies. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Monday, everybody. I know there's a lot of people in agriculture happy this morning. We got some nice rains last night. Let's check out some temperatures around the old agriculture area. 61 at Hollis, the hot spot right now in the state of Oklahoma is Tipton and Grandfield at 70 degrees. Butler, you're 62. Arnett's 56. May Ranch, I think you're the coolest spot in the state at 50, looking at that. Lahoma, 53 degrees out here in the panhandle of Texas. 60 at Lipscomb, 57 at Miami, 61 at Wellington, and 69 at Odell. And good luck, you're 70 degrees. All right. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I did. I had a really great weekend. I was able to attend the Davis Angus Bull Sale over at Burns Flat Saturday. It was great. That blackened prime rib is the best. It was awesome. Thanks, Jim and Deb and Nakona and Jordan for putting on a great bull sale. The bull sale went great. A lot of people were there, a lot of buyers, of course, and it was just awesome. Who's who amongst Western Oklahoma was there. I seen Jimmy Taylor there, seen Dean Kephart, Wendell Dunn, Jerry. Who else was there that I need? Oh, and of course, this is OCA Happy Hour today, and Lori Campbell was there representing an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Who else did I see there? Well, of course, I said Jimmy. Tracy was there also. And let's see here. Let me think. My brain's going dead. Bert Hudson was there. Seen Bert Hudson there. And I seen a bunch of other people there. Anyway, it was a great bull sale. Congratulations to them on a great one. And then last Wednesday was the Quartermaster Creek. And congratulations to Mike and Annie Schweitzer for their great bull sale. The Piercy Bull Sale probably just started right now there at Eakley, and we got more bull sales coming up. Matter of fact, the Hobson Angus Bull and Female Sale is coming up the 10th of March at 12 o'clock, and it'll be at Crescent. For more information, you can go to Live Ag. It'll be on their website and also Hobson Angus Facebook page. So they'll looks like, what do they got? They got 200 heads going to sell at Crescent at the Hobson Angus sale. Also, let's see what else we got going here. It's bull sale season. Ferris Cattle will be coming up this Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And then the Bexler Ranch will be March 8th. And the Hobson, obviously, March 10th, and then the Harrison Cattle Company, March 25th. Lots of things coming up, and lots of people buying great bulls. This is probably the best set of bulls that I've been looking at online, and it was out there Saturday and seen some. A lot of great bulls selling this year. And if you didn't get it, let's see here. Let's go back to it. Where did it go? There, the cow calf corner. They've got another, Mark Z Johnson's got another article in there on value proposition of bulls. It's real interesting. It's kind of complicated to, talk about on the radio with the charts and stuff like that. But if you're a subscriber and you hadn't checked it, check that deal out. If you're getting ready to buy some bulls, it makes more. He was using the EPT chart this time to evaluate, And I covered up the prices and I checked out. I've been learning from Jimmy Taylor on reading those EPT charts. And I covered the value up the price of them on there. And sure enough, I picked the one that cost the most. So check that out on Cow-Calf Corner. If you're not a subscriber, it's really easy to do. Just go to OSU's Extension website. Check, they got a Cow-Calf Corner newsletter in there. Check it out and click on it. And Dr. Paul Beck will send you an email every week, every Monday morning. I did see on this deal, and I'm going to go over that with you right now, the role of stockers in today's cattle market put out by Daryl Peel from the Oklahoma State Extension Livestock Marketing. Shrinking cattle inventories in recent years leads to a wide range of impacts on the multi-sector cattle industry. Figure one shows the rise in feeder prices and changes in price relationships that impact economic incentives of the various cattle production activities. As feeder cattle prices have risen, the prices for lightweight animals have increased faster and more than heavy feeder cattle. And I was going to talk to Brandon about that tomorrow. This has particular implications for stocker producers. The cattle industry includes several production sectors of which contribute to singular objective of producing slaughter-ready cattle. Broadly speaking, the cow-calf sector is the primary sector producing the supply of calves for the entire industry. At the other end, the feedlot sector ensures that cattle are finished with carcasses producing high-quality beef. In between, the stocker, or the backgrounding sector, consists of many varied and flexible activities that has several different functions for the cattle industry. The stocker sector provides basic production value for the cattle industry. Calves and lightweight feeder cattle are grown to increase size and weight prior to feedlot placement. Stocker production also helps balance forage and feed grain values. Cheaper forage-based stocker grains help keep the cattle industry competitive. When grains are expensive relative to maintain feedlot inventory, this is especially true with feedlot cost of grain is low due to cheaper grain prices. From the cow-calf perspective, forage is used for the calf production, but can be used for stocker production. Retained stocker production is an option for forage use when calf prices are low and the value of added grain on stockers is a little bit higher. So there you go. So it's a pretty good read on what Dr. Peel says in there, because I know I hear some of the stocker guys kind of backed off on buying right now. The prices hasn't shown it, but they've backed off a little bit on buying right now because the numbers just don't work. So interesting what's going on in the cattle industry as of right now. Okay, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Wheat futures rose overnight on some technical buying and concerns about crops in France. Investors were short the market and had bet on lower prices, may have bought back contracts and booked profits after prices last week plunged more than 4%. Prices last week declined on signs of the weakening demand for U.S. wheat amid favorable weather in several growing areas of the world. In France, however, the soft wheat crop was rated 73% good or excellent last week, and that's down 1% from the week earlier. Durham wheat ratings also fell 1 percentage point to 82% good or excellent. Dry weather in the French growing areas have hurt the crop a year after rain led to smallest crop. A lot of rain led to smallest crop from the country since the 80s. Still keeping the lid on prices and favorable weather that is expected this week as the rain may fall in parts of the U.S. Southern Plains. And we did get a little bit. Not everybody got some. Matter of fact, while we're on it, let's just check it out. Looks like Elk City, according to the Mezzanet, got the most rain out of anybody registered at 0.86 one-hundredths of an inch or 86 one-hundredths of an inch. Cheyenne was next at 84 hundredths. Eric, 6,300. Hollis, where all of it started down there last night, 3/4 of an inch. Mangum, almost a half inch. Weatherford, almost 7/10. And even Arnett got 39/100 and slap out 4/500. So there was some good rain. Not everybody got one. There was dry. I got a half inch at the house. I know the secret weapon up there in Roger Mills County got 1.10 inches. And when I'm thinking about that, happy birthday, Casey Keener. It's your birthday today, I seen. So happy birthday to Casey Keener. Well, drilling fool. All right, let's finish up with what happened overnight. Let's see here. Wheat futures for May delivery gained 2.5 cents to 5.58 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 1.5 cents. Corn futures fell 3 cents to 4.66.5. Soybeans for May delivery lost 0.75 cents to 10.25. Soy meal was unchanged at 320 a short ton. And let's see here. What else is going on? We got winter weather in parts of our agriculture farm belt. Blizzards warnings have been issued for much of west central Nebraska and counties in Colorado and in Kansas. According to the National Weather Service, 5 inches of snow is forecast for those areas. Whiteout conditions are also expected. So if you're traveling down I-70 headed towards Colorado, be sure check your radar. Make sure you don't get caught up in there. Also, as much as 6 inches of snow is forecast for southern Wisconsin. And here back in Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma, I guess storms will develop here around 10, 11 o'clock in western Oklahoma. I think it's going to fire up right over the top of us. And there's tornado chances, so everybody keep an eye out for the weather tonight. Hopefully we get some more rain and not a lot of hail and all that other good stuff that comes with our spring storms. The wind is going to howl today and tomorrow, folks, so just get ready for it. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break, and I'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, February the 14th. 628 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 448 brought 380. 6 at 530 brought 322. 3 at 573 brought 330. 9 at 618 brought 316. 4 at 780 brought 257. 14 at 847 brought 248. 5 head of heifers at 275 brought 385. 3 at 493 brought 310. 4 at 503 brought 310. 28 at 515 brought 312. 3 at 572 brought 272. 5 at 606 brought 276. Butcher cows were 99 to 157. Butcher bulls brought 109 to 173. Bred cows 1425 to 3075. Pairs brought 2100 to 3200. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather forecast for our ag weather update for the Texas Panhandle. Wellington, 62 degrees. Humidity's 54. Dew point's 45. The winds are out of south at 12 with wind gusts up to 15. Peak wind gust today is also around, 20 so far? 23/100ths of an inch of precipitation month to date already. Sub-freezing minutes, zero, no red flag minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 52 degrees. That old wheat ride through the cows getting ready to take off. I think mine's grown an inch since yesterday already. I think it looked like it grew an inch about an hour after that rain yesterday. It was really good. I've been meaning to pass this along with you. Our one of my favorite stores in the world, Midwest Farm Supply here in Elk City, closed here a month or two ago. And there's not there that I know of. If there is, pass that on to me. Ag text line is 580-225-9697. But K&G Diesel and Automotive out here right south of Elk Lake. Jason Wilhelm works on tractors and stuff. He said he'd be happy to work on any hydraulic cylinders for anybody. He actually said he was good at it. So, which that's a good deal. So if anybody's needing hydraulic cylinders worked on, K&G Diesel, just it's easy to find. Go across Elk Dam. Follow it around that curve from the first county road to go south. Just go down there and it'll be right there on your left. Or call Jason Wilhelm or get him on Facebook or however you do it. And K&G Diesel and Automotive down there will rebuild hydraulic cylinders and save you a trip to town and stuff like that. So he rebuilds them right there on site. So, okay. What else we got? Let's check out what's going on with the markets right now. Let me update it, and come on, baby. There we go. Man, there just nothing looks very good on the board right now but natural gas. There we go. Corn, March, 441, down 12. May is 457, down 12 and a half. Soybeans for March, 997, down 13 and three quarters. May is 1010, down 15 and three quarters. Soybean meal, March, 291.60, down 10. May is 299.50, down 70. Soybean oil, March, 42.28, down 125. Hard red winter wheat, March, 548, down 9 and 3 quarters. May is 561, down 12 even. Cotton, well, there's a positive note there. I didn't see that. Cotton's up a little bit. July cotton, 66.82, but it's about, 34 cents from where it needs to be? We'll see what happens. We'll see what our new Secretary of Agriculture has to say about the grain, the markets. Let's see here. Sugar Daddy, he's losing his behind. May sugar, 18.22, down 30 today. Oils from West Texas, April 68.63, down 113. Natural gas is up again today, up 23 for April. It's at 406, which is good for all you mineral rights owners. The NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow are all in the red. Nothing major, but they're there. Live cattle, April 192.02, down 62. June 187.72, down 105. Feeder cattle, For March, 273.47, down 150. April, 271.27, down 172. May is 269.42, down 170. Lean hogs, positive now, wasn't earlier. April's even 84, up 32, and May's 88.17, up 75. There you have it. All right, I'm thinking about it. Coming up Wednesday, that's another thing I want to talk about, is Rack Madness is happening at the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife's headquarters there in Oklahoma City. If you got some big bucks, you rehomed last hunting season, this past one. Scoring will be first. Sorry about that. Scoring will be first come, first serve, with a 2-item limit per participant. There, maybe I got that out of my throat. Eligible items include whitetail deer and mule deer antlers, must be attached to the skull plate, elk antlers and antelope horns, and bear skulls, all harvested in Oklahoma. Participants who register and bring an item to be scored will be put in a drawing for a lifetime combination hunting and fishing license donated by the OWC Foundation. Only those who bring an item to be scored are eligible for that prize. The Oklahoma State Game Warden Association will award another lifetime license to one person who harvested a doe during the 24-25 season. To enter, visit the game theft trailer and check in with the game wardens in front of the building. Please do not go in there to this trailer and tell them you shot a doe if you didn't check it in. If Lieutenant James is there, he's going to be smiling when that comes out of your mouth. So if you shot a doe and you checked it in legally like you're supposed to, and you can go by the game theft trailer. Seems like this is like they're trying to catch somebody. I don't know. Maybe it's just my imagination. But if you did shoot it, if you did check a doe in, go by there and fill out the deal because they'll check, and you got an opportunity to win a lifetime license. I don't know why I thought about that. So who knows? Let's see what Ag Secretary Rollins had to offer yesterday. She did where was she at? I don't remember where she was at. I don't think it said in here. But Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins on Sunday laid out some broad details of the $10 billion in market relief for row crop producers that's due out by March 21st, asserting that the U.S. farm economy is perhaps the worst it's been in 100 years. Speaking in Denver, that's where she was, at the opening day of the Commodity Classic, the annual meeting of grain and oilseed growers and equipment manufacturers, Rollins also assured farmers that the $21 billion in disaster relief that the USDA is also due to distribute would be based strictly on need, regardless of your skin color or geographic location. Why somebody says that, I don't know. In December, Congress authorized $21 billion in disaster aid as well as $10 billion in economic assistance. The Biden administration has prorated the last round of disaster assistance in order to benefit small-scale and underserved producers. She said something in here I'm going to comment on here in just a minute. Rollins also, the department is releasing payments from three major conservation programs. Funding through the EQIP program, the CRP or CSP program, not the CRP, sorry, CSP, which is the Conservation Security Program, and the Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, has been paused since President Trump took office. We're still reviewing other programs to make sure that they are focused on making American agriculture the most competitive in the world and moving our industry into great prosperity than perhaps we've seen in our lifetime. Gone are the days when the USDA will be advancing the Green New Deal, she said. She didn't say whether the funding being released included the portion of funding through the Inflation Reduction Act, the 2022 law that sought to fund a shift towards clean energy and climate smart ag practices. She had previously said that about $20 million in conservation payments had been released. Rollins also received standing ovations at the beginning and the end of her speech on a stage beside the conference massive trade show, repeatedly stressed the department was eliminating all vestiges of diversity and inclusion practices, including as a guided farm relief. We're going line by line through the budget to root out wasteful programs, she said, especially ones that focus on diversity and inclusion and far left climate agendas that actually. Sorry about that. I don't know where my cough came from. Repurposing for that for you and doing what's best for your farms. Rollins, here we go. This is the one I was talking about. Rollins said the department was on track to move immediately some $10 billion economic assistance to row crop producers. The aid was authorized by Congress in December, along with the $21 billion in disaster aid. She said the Farm Service Agency would base the payments on 2024 acreage reporting data. The program will be known as the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP. She gave no timeline for distributing the $21 billion in disaster aid, but she said, gone are the days of progressive factoring. No longer will you be required to turn in your tax returns. Thank goodness. It's hard for me to convince the FSA that I don't make over $900,000 a year. We will have much more to say on this specifically in the weeks ahead, but it's a new day at the USDA. Rollins touched on trade policy and President Trump's tariffs only briefly. He's going to ensure that our farmers are being treated fairly by our trading partners. Rollins made no mention in her speech on Trump's proposed tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China slated to begin this coming Thursday. So it'll be interesting what gets done between today and then. If the president does press ahead with the plans, analysts have warned the price of fertilizer and agricultural machinery could climb further during the first Trump administration. Officials provided support for producers who suffered export revenue losses from those tariffs. We'll see. Well, I think she's off to a good start. We'll see what happens, I guess. Let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When we come back, we'll have more news. I got some John Deere sprayer news for you and some other stuff coming up. We'll check it out here in a minute. Last segment, I'm going to talk about the John Deere 4320 tractor. We'll see what kind of responses I get out of that. Be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
I got more interested in the engineering part of it when I got to college. Grandpa was an engineer, and he got to be an engineer through correspondence school. He was number 62 in the state of Oklahoma. And Dad did the same thing, and I would collaborate with Dad and get the engineering part of things down. I'd learn from them. I really do like being able to be given a problem and then try to solve it, not in the ordinary way. Give them a little bit of something else. It's a very big challenge, but it's one I like. Cremation is a challenge that's coming up. It's not a regular monument. These are memorials that can be sculptural pieces. It can be in your garden and then move someplace else. You can take them with you. That part for me is really interesting. The name of our company is Willis Granite Products, and our website is willisgranite.com.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I think I just deleted something I shouldn't have deleted off my email. Don't worry, Gabe, you're listening, guys. Don't panic. It wasn't nothing in here in the studio. Let's check out some weather. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. Cherokee, 53 degrees. Dew points 51, humidity's 94, the winds are out of southeast, 12 miles an hour, 15 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the past 10 days, 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 50 degrees, sunset 6:29, mostly cloudy, 68 today, 60% chance of thunderstorms tonight, 42 for a low, 40% chance of rain showers tomorrow, 62 for a high. I like seeing rain in a forecast. It is so awesome. All right, let's see here. Off the studio text line, one guy goes, dang, Jimmy, talking about them big bucks got you all choked up. I guess so. Yeah, that sounds like a good experience. And Travis Thiessen, he sent me this yesterday on a Snapchat. That boy is just ate up with trying to get all muscled up. He has a 20-pound drinking cup now. So every time he wants to drink, it's a stainless steel, or it's made out of stainless steel. It's pretty cool. You have to check it out if you haven't seen it. So I got a question here. It says, what are you hearing about PLC or ARC, which is the best? I found that it's best just to talk to a person in the FSA office. They explain it very good because they understand what's going to happen if you sign up for PLC. They understand what is going to happen in your ARC, and that sign up is going on right now. So you probably ought to call in and get you an appointment to check on it. A lot of it's got to do with grain prices, and I'm just not that guy to technically tell you what to do there. I know the last 4 years I've gone with the same program, the ARC, and it's worked out fine. So check it out. I was looking at this. So Tradio is right before my show, if you guys know. And so I get to read some pretty good texts that come in. And so this one got my attention. It says, for sale, chainsaw and a pair of frog tote fishing chest waders. Why does that not even sound like those two should go together? Right, check it out there. So Jake does a good job. Okay, also today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. One last district meeting coming up, and it is coming up this week, March 6th at the Northwest District and Woodward County Fairgrounds in Woodward, Oklahoma. If you got any question, call Miss Lori. She'll handle it out, or call the OCA office in Oklahoma City to figure it out. So beef dinner, sponsorship presentations, legislative discussion, Oklahoma Beef Council updates, district election updates for the OCA nomination committee, and OCA membership encouragement. That's one thing that I really enjoyed the other day when Jordan and Jim was up there talking. I don't remember which one talked about this, but you know, if you buy a bull at the Davis Angus bull sale, they will hook you up with the OCA membership if you want it. Pretty good. I tried to get Kephart to buy a bull so he could get that membership. He informed me that he was a lifetime member, so that deal got shot down real fast. All right, let's talk about some John Deere. John Deere released some sprayer updates, some new Rate Controller 3. John Deere announced updates to the John Deere and Hagee sprayer lineups. Upgrades developed to give farmers cleaner fields with less weed competition and more yield potential. Application equipment makes an average of 3 passes over the same field during a growing season, said Josh Ladd, John Deere go-to market manager for application. The updates we're bringing to farmers this season are designed to help them save on input cost and reduce crop damage, two things that help a farmer's bottom line. See and spray technology continues to provide additional options for farmers looking to reduce inputs and improve targeted weed control. See and Spray Select has historically been used to control weeds and fallow fields. New variable rates capabilities unlock opportunities for precise application and product savings in later season fungicide, pre-harvest passes, and much more. Farmers can now see the percentage of biomass each camera detects through the field. Each camera rate the amount of green biomass detected and varies the volume of product applied by percentage. Farmers then adjust how much product they wish to apply on an individual nozzle level based on the green biomass percentages, giving them the ability to apply product where it's most needed. Variable rate capabilities will require a G5 or G5 Plus command center display. See and Spray will be available from the factory, or See and Spray Select will be available from the factory on model year 2026 John Deere 400 and 600 series sprayers with 90, 100, and 120 boom steel booms. See and Spray Select will also be available for precision upgrade kit for the model year 2018 and newer John Deere sprayers with exact apply and 120 foot steel booms. There you go. Auto track updates providing crop damage is key during the application process. Deere application equipment has 2 new options available to reduce operator stress and provide a more seamless application. The auto track turn automation, the ATTA they're calling it, and the auto track vision 2.0 help provide consistent passes across the field with each application. What else we got going on here with the auto track? Oh, here we go. Exact apply updates, technology improvements to help farmers more accurately apply product is key to helping improve yields. Deere has introduced the exact apply variable rate capabilities, including multi-rate across the boom and auto select pausing and A-B pause with modulation nozzle switching. And then on the rate controller number 3, the John Deere Rate Controller 3 creates a option to control 2 liquid or anhydrous ammonia products up to 16 sections. It builds up on the current foundation of precision ag technology components, including the precision essential kit that contains the G5 and G5 Plus universal display. There you have it. I was just sharing that with you guys, whether you got one or not, but I know a lot of people are getting ready or already in the midst of putting down liquid fertilizer down with their sprayers and going to get ready for corn and peanuts. And speaking of peanuts, March is National Peanut Month. So help out the peanut farmers by eating peanuts. And also, if you see a peanut farmer, thank him for growing peanuts. It's really important crop. It's more important to ag than you realize. The peanut butter and stuff they make with peanut butter or peanuts help a lot with the SNAP programs, and it's nutritious. And some of those kids that are underprivileged around the world get to eat peanut butter, and it's got a lot of protein in it, so it's good for everybody. So this is National Peanut Month in the United States. All right, let's take a OCA break. When I come back, let's talk about the John Deere 4320. Be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hello, this is Kent Watkins, owner of SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for a new place to buy all of your livestock feed, seed, and chemical? Let SEI Agritech be your trusted place to get everything you need. We offer winter feed contracts, buy the bag or bulk. We carry Mixed 30 liquid supplement, Total Equine horse feed, Sure Crop fertilizer, Golden Harvest corn seed, Advanta hay grazer seed, and we also are an authorized dealer for livestock nutrition centers. Give us a call today. Follow us on Facebook. Come by and see us, SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Brian Bacca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Just imagine you're getting to the end of your career. You have worked hard creating a beautiful life for your family over the past 30 or 40 years. You've raised your kids and spent countless hours at their sporting events, concerts, and ag shows. As you were going through this phase of your life, you thought the long evenings would never end. Now that your career is winding down and your kids are no longer home, you cherish those memories with your family and wish you could go back and watch your kids do what they love one more time. You now have grandkids, and you find peace watching your own kids become parents and love seeing the world through your grandkids' eyes. As you inch toward retirement, you start to wonder if you've taken the right steps, saved enough money, and where does Medicare and Social Security fit into all of this? Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton, 323-6800 or retirewithbacka.com. There are many things in life that will worry us, but retirement should not be one of them. Let us help you find your peace in retirement.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Terry's Tiny Homes, Terry! Sure, as the only employee of her company, Terry was probably the front runner, but saving money getting personalized discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive, well, that gave Terry the edge. Over Terry.
Terry! Terry!
Keep awkwardly chanting your own name, Terry. You deserve it. Woo! Be your own Terry. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at Sweetwater. Featuring 20 registered age, advantage, and 50 yearling bulls. Also 20 registered open heifers, 50 commercial Red Angus first calf heifer pairs, and 60 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 31st at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
You've got a business to run and need vehicles to run it. We get it. Let Lipscomb Dealerships help you, whether your company drives Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, or Ram. We've got the half-ton and heavy-duty trucks you need to get the job done at Lipscomb Dealerships. Six convenient locations for service across North Texas and Western Oklahoma. Call us today at 800-205-7130. That's 800-205-7130. Or visit LipscombDealerships.com and save more in the country. Lipscomb, good people, great deals since 1979.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma, brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden there in Hobart, Oklahoma. 68 degrees at Mangum, 46 is dew point, humidity's 44. Winds are out of the south at 13, 48 one-hundredths of an inch of rain, almost a half inch so far in the last 10 days. Three-day average four-inch bare soil temperature, 53 degrees. Sunset at 6:34, breezy today, 77, 20 to 24 mile an hour wind with gusts up to 30, 35 out of the south. Tomorrow or tonight, 60% chance of thunderstorms, likely 41 for a low. South to southwest winds, 14 miles an hour. Tomorrow, not good. Blowing dust, 59 for a high. The wind switching out of the south, coming out of the northwest tomorrow. 17 to 43 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 50, according to the Oklahoma Mesonet. Well, speaking of that, during the break, I heard somebody sneezing down the hallway. Of course, is our skinny on sports, Aaron Kautman. And we were talking about it. He's seen the same TikTok I did yesterday from Lacey Swope, showing a picture up there by Watonga, or a video up there, Watonga. The cedar trees are putting their yearly yellow dust off. And it's bad. It hit me yesterday afternoon. I think it just hit Skinny in here a while ago. But tomorrow, it's going to be blowing all that pollen from northern Oklahoma down this way. So everybody just get ready. You're going to be sneezing, hacking, coughing, mad. So anyway, good deal. Let's talk about the John Deere 4320, nicknamed the Super 4020. I still cannot believe what 4020 still bring today. They were, 10,000 new when they came out? First originally come out, that was the diesel 4020, and they're still bringing their value plus more today. They might have been even cheaper than that. If you listen to my buddy Alex, the 4320 guy in one of my circles of friends, the John Deere 4320 is hands down the pinnacle of all the new generation tractors. There's no disputing it. He lays it down as cold, hard fact. Fair warning, if you ask him why, you best have a chair handy because he'll have a lot to say about it. And frankly, after listening to him over lunch one day, I got to admit, he's got a point. Lots of people talk about the 4320 as a gap filler, and that's true. It was. At the end of the day, though, I feel like it was a lot more than that. So let's see why. Farmers needed options. The 4020 was and still a fantastic tractor, reliable, versatile, and beloved by farmers. But at just 95 horsepower, it had its limits. In the late 1960s, Deere upgrade options weren't exactly ideal either. Farmers looking for more power had to make a tough choice, stick with the 4020 or jump to the 141 horsepower 5020, a bigger and heavier machine that simply wasn't suited for row crop farming. This was a clear, there was a clear need for something in between, a tractor that balanced power and just being practical, basically. And for many farmers, the need was becoming urgent. John Deere listened to the voice of the farmer, and in 1969, they responded with the 4520, packing 132 horsepower from a turbocharged 404. It was definitely a step in the right direction. But while it had its power, it was based on the 5020, and it still had the 5020 feel. To make matters worse, early models struggled with airflow issues, leading to performance headaches that only added to frustration. It was progress, but it missed the mark. Back to the drawing board. It wouldn't be fair to call the 4520 a failure because it wasn't. However, Deere knew they missed the mark. The right tractor needed strength, yes, but it also needed efficiency in the field. Armed with a better understanding, Deere engineers scrapped their previous approach and started fresh, this time basing their design off the proven 4020 chassis. And when the 1971 model year arrived, they didn't just have a fix, They had a tractor that checked all the boxes. Some of you are probably thinking, whatever, interesting Iron Man, Iron Guy, the 4320 was just a 4020 with a turbo slapped on it. And honestly, that's exactly the direction John Deere could have taken. The 4020 was built well enough that it probably could have handled the extra horsepower without too much fuss. I mean, let's be honest. How many 4020s are still out there today running with turned up pumps and a M&W stuffed under the hood? Plenty. But that's not how John Deere played it. They went deeper than just bolting on more power. They added refinement as well. Where's the beef? The age-old adage in the tractor pulling world is that power tends to find weaknesses, and that's 100% true. Without beefing things up, you may have the power, but you'll never be able to take advantage of it. The same thing goes for farm tractors, and Deere engineers understood that. They started by lengthening the wheelbase from 151 inches, like the 4020, to 159 inches. The overall length also increased by about the same. Yes, it was longer, but it was 10 inches shorter than the 4520, so they were able to retain the agility. However, the frame rails were beefed up a little bit, as well as the drive line. More weight helped the stability and traction. Anybody around here still got a 4320? I don't know that I've seen one in quite a while. I mean, I've seen them, but I haven't seen one in recent memory, I guess. The 4320 used the same basic turbocharged 404, but with a few twists, engineers relocated the injection pump so that it could run directly off the cam gear, which was more efficient than the 4020 setup. They also changed the injectors as well as incorporated a bigger fuel tank, 44 gallons for the 4320, the 34 gallons for the 4020. Turbocharged engines made more heat, and Deere made changes to handle that as well. The oiling system was completely reworked to include oil jets to cool the pistons and about 25% more oil in the system overall. Some of that fed the turbo to keep it cool also. The cooling system was redesigned using an improved pump design, a big radiator, which forced a slightly wider hood, and 17% more capacity overall. Finally, the John Deere 4320 used a bigger fan and made for a better air cleaner system. In practice, the air cleaner system didn't work at all. It was really prone to plugging up. Ah, Mr. Brian Schneeberger must have one because he said he loves his. The driveline on the driveline side, the clutch is a bit heavier, and I believe the gears and transmission are a bit beefier as well. The 4320 also came with one transmission option, the eight-speed synchro. I hope I said that. Synchro, somewhere in there. Overall, if there's only one word you ever associated with the John Deere 4320, especially when compared to the 4020, it should be beefier. Was it overbuilt? Nah, I wouldn't say so, but I think it was a very well-engineered machine. So how did it sell? Now we get down to the overall. I'd say fairly well. All told, Waterloo produced 21,485 of those John Deere 4320. However, the numbers don't tell the whole story here, according to this article. When the wheels were set in motion for the 4320, the 30 series development was already well underway. The 4430, which is a really popular tractor, and there is a bunch of those suckers still around here, would be the 4320's replacement. With just a few short years from its release for the 1973 model year, quite frankly, the 4320 was never intended to be in production for very long. In that respect, it really was a gap filler. Deere knew that something better had to be in the works, and they didn't need the 4320 for a long shelf life. What are they worth nowadays? I did a little digging in the Tractor Zoom Pro database the other day, and as you expect, the values were all over the board. A nice original two-wheel drive or a top-tier restored example will sell for around $25,000 or better without much trouble. More average examples will set you back somewhere in the neighborhood of $13,000, depending on the condition. If you stumble on a factory-equipped FDW model in good shape, expect to pay somewhere around $20,000 to $25,000. Overall, our data shows that the market has slipped a little bit over the past 3 years. I suppose that's to be expected till the collector market starts shifting towards the Sound Guard tractors. Still, if you find a nice one, they're a heck of a nice tractor and they really like it. So wrapping it up, it's just 4320 was a bad to the bone guy, even though not very many of them were made. So hope you enjoyed that. I like talking about tractors. All right. This will see you guys tomorrow. Please be aware of the high winds tomorrow. It's going to be terrible, guys. It's going to be out of the north. So be prepared for that. And just be check out. Even though we got a rain, that don't mean we can't have any fire. So be weather alert tomorrow and fire alert tomorrow. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust and Sarah of Elk City, America. God bless.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done.
96.5 KEZO, Elk City.